questions from the court system that you're going to get back to us with. Do you want to go ahead and give us the answers to those? And
Mr. Chairman, we did a revised facility thing. It's the Senator Binkley request that we put a column in the wrong place, and Kit Duke is now cut and pasting and Xeroxing it, so we have that document. We asked the architects, did we put that letter before the committee?
Yes.
What a redesign would cost, and their best guess is about $3.8 million. We are prepared to go back and design for a building of 200,000 square feet if that was what the committee wanted us to go back and do. Were there any other questions that I'm missing at this moment?
I can't recall any offhand. The members might. I ran out of questions. Questions by members of the committee?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't even have my folder here. What happened?
I don't know how I'm supposed to respond to that question.
I mean, we're supposed to find our own bill holder now?
I could have done that if I told her it didn't work. But no, thank you.
I want to ask a question about the engineering, the redesign thing, or whatever you're talking about here. On the $85 million building, as I read this, facilities design and seismic investigation cost $3.9 million. Am I right?
Pardon me, I have not added that up. I will.
Well, I'm not adding it either. It just says that right here.
Okay.
It says on your sheet of 31588, facilities design and seismic investigation, $3,942,165.
Yes.
Okay. Now, on your letter here, it says that the estimated cost for all fees necessary to complete a project prior to sale bonds is $3,900,000, that the new redesign is going to cost the same amount as the first did, because the only thing that you don't have to do is the seismic work. The usable product produced today will be the seismic and soils report. So it's going to cost, some architect has told you it cost you the same amount to design a 200,000 square foot building to the 350,000 square foot building.
What, if you'll refer back to the 315 letter, you'll notice that under the Public Facilities Planning Fund, there's also facilities design, and then also under the current appropriation request, there is a completion of construction document. A portion of that is also facility design. Okay, within the facility design under the 82 capital appropriation, the seismic investigation was approximately $400,000. So say the net facility design on the first line would be $3.5 million.
Okay.
Add $7.5 million, so it'd be up to $4.25 million. And then I'm not sure exactly the
permitting fees and other things in there.
Of the $1.2 million under the current request, I'm not sure if that's all facility design or not, but a good portion of it would be. So the cost on the proposed building, the 350,000 square foot building, would be at least $5 million.
We
have to get our records to get closer.
And none of the design work has been done to this point could be used in a smaller building?
Mr. Chairman, if I may comment, Kit Duke talked to the architect. I didn't, but I think it can be. I think I didn't talk to them, but I would hope so we can do a redesign and get out done as quick as possible is to build on the same footprint and do less things in the building and try to use some of the work that's been done. I did not talk to the architect. Should that amount of money not be expended, we would obviously return it. One thing we certainly want to avoid is coming back and going over this, and we're trying to get this done as expeditiously as possible. But again, when you make a phone call at 4 o'clock in the evening, this is what their ballpark estimate is. Possibly, Kit, you can talk about your conversation with the architect.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I asked them to tell me what they thought the design fees would be for a 200,000 square foot project based upon what they know about the site. And as the letter states, they do think that some documents will be salvageable, that we can use those. And there, as Mr. Snowden said, there's also a possibility that we can even reuse some of the design, but without more time to see what we're really talking about, it's hard to make assurances that that would be the case. So we gave you what we think is the most that would be expended to redesign the project, and that it's not just the A&E fees, but it's what all the costs would be that would carry us to the time of the sale of the bonds or the start of construction. It includes the cost for printing the bid documents and permitting fees for the municipality that have to be paid prior to the time you can go out on the street.
A lot of those permitting fees, though, are there a whole bunch of new permitting fees you have to pay even though you're doing a smaller building? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you have to pay new permit fees to go through the community planning process. Those are not substantial. The fees that you have to pay that are substantial are the ones you pay before you actually start to construct the facility.
But those aren't new because they're 200,000.
No, they're not new.
They're also in the other 1.0.
But I didn't assume that this 3.9 million was additive to the 1.5.
I didn't either. So, but how are you going to pay the? Well, I guess I don't know. If you ask the same architect, I'd give a high figure too.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we're talking about $1.5 million, which, in other words, if we were to just take the 3.9, the 1.5 would be included in that. So
right.
We're really looking at, what is that, 2.4?
More.
So we're looking at 2.4 more million dollars, which would include, I'd assume you'd have to redo the completion of the construction documents.
Yes.
And you'd have to... question is on the fees. Some of the fees might still be okay, but other ones would have to pay all new fees on that.
We're going to have to go back through planning and zoning. There'll be some fees there and the time constraints. Mr. Chairman, basically, this is the best look at it as we see it. I hope it's cheaper and quicker and whatever. That's the best estimate we could get you overnight on the project.
Mr. Chairman, then the bidding costs, too, would be, you have to do new bidding costs, new bidding.
Yes.
Okay, so that's 1.5 there. And what is the design, the additional design would then come to 900,000? Or is that over a million?
The total AE fee, is that what you're asking about?
Mm-hmm.
If it would be easier, I have a list of numbers that backs up the 3.9 million. Maybe I could just go through those.
Okay.
The total in A&E fees is 3.2 million. The total fees to do design review and municipality plan review is $220,000. The bidding costs I have kept in there at $100,000. The traffic plan that we have to produce for the municipality to update our information to them, we're estimating at $5,000. The minor amount of utilities relocation work that still remains to be done before the contractor can start, I've estimated at $75,000, which was part of the $1.5 million. Other scheduling and cost estimating documents that we would have to produce, we're estimating to be $100,000. And the project insurance is $160,000.
Okay, that came with 3.9, I guess.
Further questions?
Not on that, but on that. Legal things I'd like to ask from all the other
questions. Are there further questions for the administration staff?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I do. I have questions on the chart that was just passed out on the space requirements. And then we just got this one. We had gotten ours at about noon today, so we haven't had a chance to really take a look at it. And again, this is the chart that is really the basis for the court system's determination of how much space they're going to need by the year 2005. And I guess the easiest would probably be for the committee to look at this latest one that they just passed out. And if you look across in the one column that's entitled Existing, has got lines around it. That's the space that the court system currently has. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And then if you look two columns over to the right, right under the word square, that's the basis of the study by Mr. Wong, the space consultant. It was the original study revised by Mr. Wong in 1987. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and then if you look at the last column, that is the court system's proposal of what they're going to need by 2005 after they modified Mr. Wong's study.
That's correct.
Okay. A question then. So what you're saying currently, that, for instance, on line two, Court of Appeals, currently the Court of Appeals uses 3,005 square feet.
That's correct.
Mr. Wong says they need 15,045 feet, and you say they need 10,630 feet.
Correct.
Okay, let's go to another example. Say traffic court clerks, which is about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 9 lines down. Okay, currently they have 5,000 square feet. Mr. Wong says by the year 2005 they'll need 5,750 square feet. And you say they'll need 9,450 square feet. Why would, in that instance, you say that the traffic court clerks need almost twice as much space as Mr. Wong projects, yet in the Court of Appeals, you say that they will need, the Court of Appeals will need a third less space than Mr. Wong suggests?
Okay. I realize that this is not very clear, but my number of 5,000 and 9,450 relate to traffic court clerks and traffic committee magistrates.
Oh, I see. You've added those two lines together. Okay,
right.
Well, let's take another example then. let's go down three more lines to jury assembly.
Yes.
Currently, they have 2,780 square feet. Mr. Wong says they need 7,455 feet, about three times as much. And you say they need 10,150 square feet, or another 3,000 more than Mr. Wong says. How do you come to that conclusion?
The decision that we've made here is that in order to get the most use out of the jury assembly facility, we have incorporated with it the training facility that we use for magistrates and judges and so on. And we're just sharing those two spaces, so that's why the number increases, to give us a larger space to have bigger meetings in on the days when we have large numbers of jurors. Every day of the week, you don't have 300 or 400 jurors coming in to be trained, but some days you do.
Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't Mr. Wong have known that when he did his study, when we hired him to do that? I thought that would be the sort of thing that he would kind of talk to the court system and find out what their needs were, use his extensive experience about designing court facilities and knowing how much space was needed, combine those and come up with a recommendation of how much we really did need.
Well, he did come up with a recommendation of how much you really need for jurors, but the most recent information that we have on jury management is that you should provide a training room where people sit in rows of chairs like a movie theater, but you should also have a space for them where they can sit and do work or read or whatever they would like to do while they wait to be selected or called into a jury panel. And we have made the decision that we need to provide that amenity for our jurors because they are being inconvenienced.
So that's some standard that's come out since Mr. Wong did his study last July.
Mr. Chairman, it's our view Mr. Wong provided X amount of square feet. We thought that the best thing to do, for example, we have magistrates coming in to be trained in about 3 weeks. We train magistrates, extensive training sessions two times a year because of the parts of the law. We have a lot of lay magistrates. We have to rent the Captain Cook ballroom to do that at $2,300 for a couple of day meeting. And Plus that, the fact is the jurors are paid $25 a day. We're jamming them in where they are like sardines, and we want to expand that area and create even a work corral if there's people there that want to work while they're waiting on jury duty or read magazines and things like that. So our intent is to put that together so that it provides two functions, which better gives it better flexibility and better works for the court system.
Maybe I'm not explaining myself, Mr. Chairman. But is that something that has changed since July when Mr. Wong did his assessment of the needs of the court system? Is that something that has just occurred?
I don't think he considered it.
Why not?
I really don't know that, but we noted it, and we did consider it.
I would think that would be the purpose of hiring an expert like Mr. Wong, is to work with the court system and come up, and that's what I would assume all this is. It's a real fancy formula to come up with how much space is needed. For jury assembly, they've got a formula that talks about the personal space, the shared space, a multiplier for the internal circulation space of the jury, and then another multiplier of 1.4285 to get up to your total gross square feet. I mean, this is impressive. It looks like there was really some thought that went into this. But then I see, arbitrarily, the court system went through and just changed the numbers, not based on the number of personnel, because those are still all the same.
We disagree with some of the Wong recommendations, that though we agree with most of them. For example, he showed the Supreme Court with two extra members. We disagreed with that. We cut out that space.
Why would Mr. Wong make an assessment like that? The seven Supreme Court members, is that what he thought they were?
No, they thought that it could go to that someday, and we've made a policy decision that that is not the way this court system should grow. And Mr. Wong works all over the country. Maybe other courts do that, and he's just trying to give us regularized space standards. In any event, this is the best we can do. We may not agree with him on everything, but it really...
Mr. Chairman, let me go to another example at the bottom of the page. If you look at building amenities, currently you have 4,765 square feet of building amenities. Mr. Wong recommended that you almost double that space to 8,655. Yet the court system recommends that we go to 51,470 square feet of building amenities. That's a 10-time increase over what you have now. Could you explain to me why you need so large of an area for building amenities?
Yes, I can. Because essentially that's the one area in this report where we're not comparing apples to apples. Mr. Wong did not include provisions for public waiting areas in the building, for mechanical and electrical equipment areas. He did not include space for maintenance, DOT maintenance facilities. And there wasn't any other logical category to put that in so that you could keep all the other numbers relatively comparative. So I put that space down here under building amenities.
Mr. Chairman, go ahead. Could you explain to me then, Kit, what is incorporated in the multiplier between internal circulation and total gross square feet of 1.4285? What's that for then?
Well, I believe that Mr. Wong thinks that covers that. So when we actually got to working on the design of the building, it was clearly obvious that it didn't cover enough square feet for those things.
So you're telling me then if you take the totals in net square footage times 1.2, the internal circulation number, the, let's see, we'll change columns when you go down to the lower part. If you look at the internal circulation projections by Mr. Wong, 302,000 square feet, and you take the he's provided for 329,000 square feet, and then you go to the total gross square footage, 470 plus 329 minus. He includes 141,000 square feet for building amenities, as you've called them. That difference between the internal circulation column and the multiplier of 1.4285 that gets you to the total gross square foot column. I mean, he's included 141,000 square feet for all that.
I can't tell what you're looking at.
Well, if you take the total in the column entitled total NSF times 1.2, internal circulation, Mr. Wong estimates that by 2005, the total
net square footage, which is column 3, times 1.2, the factor for internal circulation, gives you 329,000 square feet.
I see what you're looking
and
at.
And then you take his multiplier, which we would assume that would account for those things like elevator shafts and building maintenance and those other things that you just listed, and he multiplies that times 1.4285 to get a total square footage of 470, total gross square footage of 470,000. That's an increase of 141,000 square feet to accommodate those things that you just mentioned. Yet you add another 50,000 square feet in under building amenities to cover those same things.
That's because I am not doing the multiplier the way he is. I mean, my number of 370,000 is comparable to his number of 497,000. I didn't do another multiplier on top of my...
I thought we spoke just before the committee about that, and you did, and that's why you moved that between this sheet and this sheet over to that total gross square foot column, because it was comparable. You know, the existing square footage was comparable to the total gross square footage column.
You mean the 207,000? I'm not sure what you're asking me.
Well, it seems to me that you've accommodated for all those things in the multiplier to get to the total gross square footage. Well, I guess, Mr. Chairman, I'm a little confused how you really came up with these numbers. The last column that says Anchorage Court System needs that were done apparently last month in February for the year 2005. And I know we spoke about this yesterday, and it seemed to me at that time, and it still does, that it was very subjective how you came up with those numbers. That it wasn't based really on this formula of carrying these, how many personnel you have, how much shared space, how much total square footage, times 1.42, times 1.4285.
Well, it is in terms of each one of these individual sections.
Well,
perhaps, Mr. Chairman, if we could be at ease for a couple of minutes, I could figure out what the question is here and why there is a difference of opinion about the numbers.
Senator Fisher and then Senator Duncan.
I don't know what Senator Duncan's question is going to be, but my question is, and I asked Senator Duncan, he didn't know, what did we pay Dr. Fong to do this particular study? Do you have any idea what the contract was? Dollar amount?
Whatever, you get money's worth.
what was that? Well,
I believe it was around $735,000.
You got
a kid. Did you say that again? I believe it was around $735,000
for the entire study. Mr. Chairman, this is so ridiculous.
Mr. Chairman, I guess I thought it'd be around 50. I guess I'm kind of taken back, but I guess what I would like to do, and I mean, if we're paying that kind of money, I thought 50 would have been a lot, but if we're paying $700,000, I checked with the teleconference folks, and I think we ought to get Dr. Fong on the line today so we can kind of maybe get this thing moving on and have him respond to that kind of money should surely be able to answer some questions, I would think, so that if we have questions, ask it, and then that way, Mr. Chairman, trying to speed things up a little bit, maybe we can possibly, after having him on the line, even possibly with the bill up today. But I think he's going to be a key factor, but I'm kind of shocked. $700,000.
Mr. Chairman, I should point out that the production of this study is not the only thing that we paid Dr. Wong to do.
Oh,
he also worked with us on the actual design of the facility, reviewing the documents and making sure that
over the 8 years.
Senator Fitzman, going again, this was a sole source situation. Did you have a prearranged price at the beginning, or was this a cost plus? When did he do this, a year ago, five years ago?
We issued the contract to him in 1982.
82, and he finished it when?
In 1987. I mean...
Yeah, we got the original study, that big book there in 82, June of 82.
Right.
Do you think that he would be available, Mr. Chairman, to answer some calls? I mean, for that kind of money, I would suspect he wouldn't mind if we pick up the cost of the call.
I have no idea.
Mr. Chairman,
I know he's building, he's working on courthouses in Guam and Australia, and I don't really know where he is, but I have no problem if the committee certainly talks about Guam.
Mr. Chairman, where did we come up with the $735,000 for the study, the square footage, plus what else?
We worked with the architects and the other planners over 7 years in working with the plans and looking at flow and circulation paths, because Mr. Wong is one of the top two or three court planning experts in the country. He's worked on Foley Square in New York. He's done the state of Georgia, state of Alabama. He's done many court buildings throughout the country. And what he was looking at, working with the architects, is on the circulation patterns and such in the building. Architects that don't know court backgrounds don't know that you need separate prisoner, separate juror, these types of things. He's worked with those folks on those types of circulation paths and things that are necessary in that area over the years.
But, Mr. Chairman, did he do anything else besides just, you know, I understand the circulation problem.
Flew up, attended meetings with architects and other people, met with the employees of all the agencies, met with the municipality, worked on planning, zoning, testified there. Those were the types of things. Many staff interviews and in-depth things with the departments and things like that.
Mr. Chairman, did he do any design or any kind of, you said he looked over some maps and things of this nature? And
he's a planner, he's a space planner, not an architect.
He did the schematic footprint layout, if you will, that was provided to the architect from which he commenced the design documents. And then he also reviewed those design documents as it went along to make sure that the architect was adequately interpreting his intent.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Fisher actually asked my question, but it seems to me that, and I've heard Mr. Snowden say this several times, this is one of the two or three top experts in the world on this. And I just don't understand how we can have one of the top experts in the world pay $730,000 and change all of his work after he's done it. It doesn't give me much confidence in, if he's been involved in the design and the footprint and everything, it doesn't give me much confidence in the entire project if he's the guy that's being involved in doing all this stuff. I got to tell you, the more I hear, the more concerned I get that we're not really sure where we're going with this thing, because he is the expert, but I'm looking down this list and I don't find one of his recommendations that you accepted. I don't see.
Well, I think that you'll.
So you could have done it without him, and we could have cut this appropriation in half, probably.
I think the majority of what you will see is that our changes have made things smaller. And the reason for that is because we made adjustments in what the staffing levels would be and reduced those amounts to reflect that. We haven't changed what he did in terms of setting up the footprint of the building or the circulation relationships, the way things interrelate. We have not changed any of that.
When you look back in 1988 and you're basically trying to look at where we're going in a crystal ball and cut back and say, where are we efficient, where can we hold down, that's why most of our numbers are smaller and changed. And even there, as we've told the committee, we were trying to design a building that would have some growth potential over time. We've also suggested to the committee, if you want us to build a building for today, we cut back and build a building for exactly for today without a growth potential.
Would you hire Mr. Wong to do the revamping of that new building if we were to do it 200,000 feet?
Okay, let's try and stay in order.
You wouldn't?
No. Are you finished, Senator?
Yeah, I'm finished.
Senator Fisher, then Senator Binkley, and then Senator Hensley, and then Senator Ewing.
I guess for my own knowledge, Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to figure in the whole scheme where Mr. Wong fits into it. In other words, you say he helped with the design, and yet I see other figures here for design. For example, facilities design and schematic investigation was almost $4 million. We're talking about the facility design for something else, I guess, for $500,000. We're now talking about, with $1.5 million that you're asking for now, we're talking about completion of construction documents for $1 million, review and permit fees. And where does he fit into this whole scheme? But he doesn't. So that was paid somewhere else that's not part of the project budget.
It's the figure that you see under programming in the first section, I believe, of the...
$666,000. The rest of Dr. Wong's contract involves construction management, the overview process during actual construction.
Okay, then it has nothing to do with this. The loan was made for $750,000.
No, it doesn't.
So he was paid with previously appropriated money.
Yes.
And I guess just the last question, Mr. Chairman, is did he come in for a set fee or was it a cost plus basis?
I think the answer is none of the above.
Well, how did we determine to pay the man $700,000+?
His contract was written as a percentage of the cost of the project.
Ooh. So in other words, if this project goes to $100,000, we owe him some money.
He was $100 million.
I mean, $100 million.
He's been terminated.
We
now.
Basically said that we've gotten as much as we feel that we can get in this planning process, and a letter went terminating the future things and trying to curtail all costs that we can.
I guess then, and boy, I was hoping we could just move this along. So in other words, there was a great incentive for him to make the most elaborate facility that he could come up with because it's based on the total cost of the project, his fee does, right? The incentive was to, in other words, if he would have come up with a $60 million project, he would have made less money, obviously, because it's based on a percentage of the total project. So there were no constraints built into the project itself to do a... In other words, a rectangular type building, because that's where you save money versus a lot of these things. Because the more the project cost, the more money he made. So the incentive would be to come up with something that the public just doesn't come out in droves against, but to come up with something that's sellable, and yet his income is greater. Am I right or am I wrong?
Well, I don't really feel qualified to talk about his contract because, one, I didn't write it, and two, I didn't administer it.
Ooh. Well, okay.
Who did?
Mr. Richard Barrier, the ex-deputy director of court.
Yeah, and it's water over the dam, I guess, Mr. Chairman, but I would... What it might have been much better, maybe we better start looking in the future, is to come up with a fixed fee and don't allow somebody that's doing the designing or has some influence on the design and the ultimate outcome of the cost to be based on a percentage of the cost. It seems like, you know, almost getting the fox to watch over the chickens.
Mr. Chairman, I can assure you that that's the way all of our contracts are written now.
What?
That they are written so that they are fixed fee contracts.
Oh.
Thank you.
Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I could understand that if what you said was that, you know, you looked at what your personnel requirements were and they were maybe somewhat different than Mr. Wong suggested. And you went in, for example, in state court administration where you say existing you have 65 people in administration. By 1995, you're going to need 75. By 2005, you're going to need 86 people to administer the court system. If you had gone in and said, well, we think Mr. Wong's assessments are incorrect and we're really only going to need 70 people by 1995 and 81 people by the year 2005, and then used his existing formula to go through his computation of what personal spaces would be required for court administration, what shared spaces, what the internal circulation for that type of personnel category would be, and then what their burden of the overall public areas, public waiting areas, the mechanical areas, that 1.4285 factor to come up with a gross square footage, but it doesn't sound like you did that.
again, you just arbitrarily went in and made those adjustments, and you say that most of those you adjusted downwards, but I see family court is adjusted upwards for Mr. Wong's projections.
We are on
traffic court clerks is adjusted up for Mr. Wong's suggestions. Jury assembly is adjusted up for Mr. Wong's suggestions. Judicial services goes from 12,895 square feet that Mr. Wong suggested up to 25,815 square feet. And then, of course, building amenities has gone up substantially. Seems to me that a lot of these actually increased from what Wong's suggestion was to what the court system's suggestion was last month in February of 88.
Mr. Chairman, it is true that some categories have gone up, some have gone down. They have all been done on the basis of personnel projections. For instance, in the Supreme Court, the difference between Dr. Wong's projection and ours is based on the fact that we don't add two justices to the Supreme Court. Therefore, you don't add the related secretaries and law clerks and so on. And we have maintained that space pretty much exactly the way it's required now, because we don't change the size of the court.
Mr. Chairman, that's what I thought we asked for, was what the basis for this was. And we didn't get that. I mean, we didn't get, the answer wasn't that here's what the change in the personnel was and here's what our expansion of those numbers was.
Well, you did get in your original package the total number of personnel that we projected. I did not put a column in here called our projected personnel because I don't have those numbers down here in Juneau, and I could not explain to anybody how to get those numbers for me in Anchorage.
Well, Mr. Chairman, it looks like the difference in personnel between your projection and Mr. Wong's, let me just see if I've got that here. Seems to me that the difference is the elimination in the 288 revision of not including anything for district attorney, nothing for Office of Special Prosecution and Appeals, nothing for public defender, and nothing for Office of Public Advocacy.
Senator Binkley.
625 and 516. Well, that's all my questions.
Is that true, though, Mr. Chairman?
It is true that the number projected on page 7 of that report does not reflect the executive branch agency.
Senator Hensley? Okay, Senator Binkley's comment was true that you did exclude those square footages for those particular agencies. Is that right?
Yes, that is right.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman,
go ahead.
I guess just a comment on my part, Mr. Chairman. You know, when we started the process, I mean, it was the massive square footage as well as the size of the project that was a great concern. Of course, these figures help clarify what the thinking was of the court system, or I guess of your consultant. And if he was at work on this project in 1982, that's part of my concern about the planning process, because I know what was going on in that period. I know with the University of Alaska. I mean, they were going around having charrettes, talking to the community about what they would like to see, you know, in their facility, whether it was in the community college or in the various campuses of the university, and they were going wild, you know, dreaming up what they'd like to have, you know, 10 or 15 years from now. And some of these, and I had a problem with that, because to me it was building up these huge expectations about what they'd like to have, and they were going to try to put those into reality. And that is the concern. I mean, I think we're sympathetic with the court system and their need for the space, but I still believe that these numbers kind of reflect the mentality of, you know, 4 or 5 or 6 years ago, you know, where we thought that things would never end. And that's the concern that I wanted to express, Mr. Chairman, about the statistics on the square footage and the attendant cost for the construction.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think that some of the comments are well taken. The costs and the design and so on in regard to this flow, it seems to be pretty excessive. What I would suggest, the first question I guess I could ask to Mr. Snowden would be, what could we build for 200,000 square feet that would be sufficient for the needs of the court system?
It would be my guesstimate at this point in time, without going back to the plans, that we basically can build a building that, depending on what happens in the population base and so on and so forth, will take care of our needs for the next 10 or 12 years. We would not put any executive branch agencies in. It seems to be a commercial concern in any event, but that's not the reason we wouldn't. We would just put in the cells, the additional criminal courtrooms, the jury assembly, the expanded clerks and other space as much as we can to take care of now. It would not provide for a building that's going to last for 30 years as the other design would be, but it would take us over the hump for 12 years. If things exploded and stuff, we'd be back. If things really slowed down, then we would hold on as well as we could, but it would certainly take care of the tremendous crunch that we have right now.
Mr. Chairman, just a statement and then maybe another question, but I think what's happened here is all these things have been an ongoing total of square footage and grandiose plans and everything based on a petrodollar that was maybe $32 a barrel way back at that point, at that time, and I think that was part of the thinking 4 or 5 years ago, that for a large courthouse, everything was large, all the capital projects things that people were doing at the time were pretty large.
It was more, Mr. Chairman, the fact that certainly a growth, as I've stated, that just since 81, our caseload's up 51%, that certainly has slowed down in the last 2 years. That's why the Supreme Court re-reviewed the project in February and cut down their numbers. They were still looking at building a building that when you built it would have expansion for 10 or 15 years so that we wouldn't be back here. That is correct. The desire that the committee has most often stated to me is say, what do you got to absolutely have now? And let's not worry about building a building, which I think in planning that you try to plan for, but that will last over the long run. It is my hope that if there is a 200,000 square feet, that will get us through the next 10 years or so. And we'll have to see what happens in the population, the economy, in caseload and things like that after that.
And Mr. Chairman, I guess, and my other concern is, that as I've stated before the committee, is that we've gotten, the process has been a planning process for the last 5 or 6 years. We have all the land that's been cleared. We've done all the seismic studies. Those would not have to be done again. All we would be doing here, if we were to put a limitation on the square footage of 200,000 square feet and a scale down, would be to essentially say, we just don't have the money now to be able to go to the grandiose plans that have been proposed in the past. And I don't know if you would agree with that or not. You feel you could essentially, the building could be done efficiently at the 200 square feet level, which would mean taking out 150,000 projected square feet that you really wanted.
I think that we certainly could take care of the absolute needs of the court system. We certainly couldn't do everything that's provided in those plans, but we certainly could take care of the absolute needs of the court system so we're not bursting our seams and we can internally operate more efficiently.
Senator Pinkley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a little bit earlier, you said that this Dr. Wong's study didn't take into account, or he had assumed that there would be 7 Supreme Court members, and that's why their space was so high for the Supreme Court. Yet when you look at the backup, and I know the other members don't have the benefit of this, but the detail information on the Supreme Court, it shows here a total of 5 for Supreme Court members.
That's the page that I am looking at shows that you have in 2005 projected for 6 associate judges and 1 chief justice. That's 7.
Okay, why do I show 5 here?
I think because you're looking at the subtotal. Is that
right?
Possible?
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Senator Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know for sure what all our plans are here, but just responding to Senator Ewing's comments, I'm not sure it's the
a question of whether we have the dollars now or not, because we're going to spend these dollars out over 30 years, and I guess we always come up with it. But I guess, in my mind, it's becoming a lack of confidence in the plans and what's going on before, because based on what we've been able to hear, I got to say, I don't have too much confidence in what Dr. Wrong did. Everything's been changed, right? So I'm not all that confident that he did that great a job, and that then leads me into the area of, I got some concern about what the design and everything else since that point has looked like. So I guess really it's a matter of it's been done right up to this point over the last 5 years, and there's no question about the fact we had one of the experts in the world, and he's saying we need to do this, and there weren't all those changes, and that the present design and planning is up to snuff. That would be a different thing. I just don't think that you can, I or anybody could go to the floor of the legislature and say with confidence, we believe that this building of 350,000 square feet is well thought out, well justified, and is needed. I don't think that, I haven't been shown anything that where I could say that with confidence. And I think that's the biggest problem, and why it does seem to me the best thing to do is to try to put something together that we can with confidence say to the public, we're building what's needed, and it's well thought out and well justified. I think that's where we've come down to.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, maybe I can increase the level of confidence here by saying that the building design itself is based partially on the chart that you see in front of you, meaning the total amounts of square footage. It's based largely upon the relationship diagrams that Dr. Wong produced, which are in the larger book that Senator Binkley has. When we made adjustments to the amounts of square footage based on our projections of what staffing levels would be, it did not change the relationship diagrams for how the court system works. So the only changes that we have made to Dr. Wong's work relate to our desire to make it reflect the current economic situation, the current caseload situation that we're experiencing, and the amount of staffing that we will have in the projected future.
Mr. Chairman, I guess just in response, I guess that doesn't help me with my level of confidence in you. We thought it was important to spend $700,000 to get an expert to do the initial design, and now we're doing a rewrite of this expert's work. I don't mean to be critical or discouraging, but we're doing the rewrite of this expert's work in-house. That doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence. If we had the expertise, then why did we hire the guy to start with?
I would only say on that we hired him because of his basic knowledge of the relationships with spaces. He was one of the authors of the American Courthouse, which is the main standard in the country on courthouses, and it was for those relationships. What we don't agree with him on are the numbers of people he thinks are needed, and we've cut those people down. I think we would show a need for across the board about 100 less people or 118 less people than he needs, and we've cut spaces down accordingly. I don't know if you ever agree with completely with all your experts, but that was the reason we used them, was on the spatial relationships. That is where we thought the proper place was to start. Now, Mr. Chairman, my view on that is that we were trying to cut this building down as much as possible. What we then, when even with our cutdowns, planned on some expansion and bringing in the executive branch and making it, if we see that that is not what, at least this is desired here, and we're trying to even cut it beyond that and saying this is what we need to exist. That is about the best answer I can give to that question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Zhang, you mentioned that these were Mr. Wong's numbers and that you went back and modified the numbers of personnel that were going to be required. How would Mr. Wong even know how many people the court system would anticipate having employed by 1995 and by 2005? I would assume that he would kind of work with you to develop those numbers rather than just say, well, I think that by 1995 the court administration is going to increase from 65 people to 75 and then it's going to go up to 86 by 2005. Wouldn't he have consulted with the court system on that?
Mr. Wong used a number of formulas in the planning document that was provided to you. There are a number of pages that show his formulas for determining caseloads. What he did was he took population values, he determined the level of caseload at for given populations, projected those into the future. He had a certain staffing to caseload ratio, and those were the basis for his personnel projections. What we did, actually having the advantage of quite a few more years of data, hindsight, whatever you want to call it, we took basically a similar but slightly different approach, using, without getting technical, multiple regression analysis. We took population values, we took other economic factors, state budget, employment, income, total employment, a number of factors. We compared those to caseloads for the Anchorage court and used that to construct a formula to evaluate staffing needs. That formula was then projected into the future using the data that was provided by the Institute of Economic and Social Research. They did a study on the Alaska housing market in which they had a number of projections for the, in fact, the same economic streams that were in the model, and we used those to predict the number of employees we would need through the year 2003. There's a two-year difference there. If you would like more information on that, what the attempt there was to evaluate the same information that Dr. Wong had updated and make adjustments in the size of the facility.
Well, it would be nice, Mr. Chairman, to get some of this data. I mean, I thought, you know, it took us a while to kind of drag this out, and we finally got that, and we found out that this had been updated. First, we got the 82 study, which we had the request. We got the 82 study, and then found out that that was updated in 87. We got that study, and then we found out that was updated in February, which we just got a couple of hours ago, 2 hours ago. And now we find out that this really wasn't even the basis right here for all of these numbers that were driving these final square footage numbers.
Senator,
it would
Binkley,
be nice to have that so that we could make some, you know, reasonable assessment of the staffing levels. We put a lot of work in it, quite frankly, initially on this document, and then we found out we were working off the wrong document that you had supplied us, and that there was really an update in February. And now we find out that even these numbers don't include what your calculations are for personnel needs in 95 and in 2005. And besides that, it seems like Mr. Wong wouldn't be working in a vacuum on coming up with these personnel staffing levels for 1995 and 2005 with some computer model. It would seem reasonable that you would be giving him the benefit of your hindsight and your intimate knowledge of the court system and the realities of the state budget and what we can likely expect and try and temper what some of his calculations are with that, rather than just having him go off and punch numbers into a computer and come up with some theoretical number of employees that we're going to have in the court system by the year 2005, and then come out with this whole formula that shows us how many square feet we have, and then the court system going back and making their own separate analysis.
The meeting of the session. Well, I'm saying what we did.
Dr. Wong did have the benefit of our knowledge at any given point in time, and when he produced the document, he did meet with individual section supervisors as he was working on this document, talking to them about what they thought their expected staffing levels would be. I think that what we have tried to do is to verify that based on what we know about caseload and what we know about what it takes us in terms of staffing levels to process that caseload. I don't believe that we have been arbitrary. We also have not had the necessary technologies to have done this back in 1980 or 82.
Mr. Chairman, maybe I can follow up on that.
Go ahead.
Well, wouldn't you, I mean, I don't know how you came up with this, but it seems like you would sit down with Mr. Wong and talk about it and say, Mr. Wong would say, okay, you have 30 people in the Supreme Court or you have 65 people in administration, and I have come up with my calculations to you requiring 75 people by the year 1995 and 86 people by the year 2005, and then you would talk about that. And Art would say, well, that's unreasonable. We know that the legislature isn't going to increase my administration budget for, you know, my own personal staff by 20 people in the next several years. And Mr. Wong would say, okay, given that, let's say it's 75 instead of 86, and then he would make his calculations from there. I mean,
after Mr. Wong made his evaluation, so on and so forth, to pull him back this year and to talk to him again, and something that we felt quite capable in doing, would have cost us more money to bring him back up here. One thing we find out about Mr. Wong is he doesn't drop up here to say hello for free. And we're trying to save exactly what we can. And I think I have experts on my staff. Mr. Fisher did a regression analysis of Bob. Is that what you're going to
talk about? Well, they paid $730,000.
I'm sorry, I didn't get it. I was sorry I interrupted a minute ago. On page 8 of the February 22nd letter to Senator Halper.
Hold on just a second.
I'm sorry. I always take off full speed.
Okay.
Did I say page 8?
Okay.
Those are the staffing and space requirements that we calculated using our version of the model.
It might be informative to let you know that we did use Dr. Wong's space standards when we put this information into the model that Mr. Fisher used.
Okay, but Mr. Chairman, these don't seem to apply. Where's Supreme Court in this?
It's under appellate courts. Appellate courts and admin are combined, actually, to make it fit on the page.
Appellate courts and admin?
Administrative office.
So that would take this line, state court administration, and include Supreme Court as well as Court of Appeals in that category?
The breakdown between the two, appellate courts, we projected 69.
The words that?
That's not on yours. The two numbers, I believe, if I can... This will take a moment.
Well, we're waiting for that, Mr. Chairman. Can I ask another question? Art, how many square feet are we proposing to provide for the Bar Association in the new building? They're listening to you. Who's on talk up here?
I believe that I told your aide, Tom, that we were providing 6,865 square feet.
For the Bar Association?
Yes.
Where does that show up in this?
It doesn't show up in that because it was intended to go in the old district court building. It would have been under the section at the bottom of the page that dealt with executive branch departments. And the reason that it doesn't show up in Dr. Wong's study is because it was not included originally. We had several other executive branches that departments that we thought were going to be accommodated. When those departments told us that they did not wish to be accommodated, we realized that we might have some space available in the district court building, and we said that possibly we could make that available for the Bar Association.
To rent out to the Bar Association? But, I mean, you didn't put that down as a need then?
No, because we don't believe it's a need for the court system.
Okay, so your total square footage then is 370,000 square feet is what you need.
Just for the court system, yes.
Okay, and again, I know I hate to keep going over this, but how big is the Boney building again?
149,670.
150,000. Okay. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Yearley. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just basically, getting back to the 200,000 square foot limitation, would you go through another study like this that you had with Dr. Wong, or do you think you pretty much had your experience with him?
Mr. Chairman,
I think, Mr. Chairman, what we want is probably some competence at the table on what you would do if you had to go back and redesign the court building on the basis of what we can pay for it today at 200,000 square feet.
Mr. Chairman, what I would do is go take out anything that's not direct court system related or public safety related, meaning Department of Public Safety, because I think it's very necessary that the space as designed as much as possible for public safety stay in the building. And we would say that we won't be moving in executive branch agencies. We would cut back our spaces and prioritize. For example, if there wasn't enough room to do everything, the administrative office would stay out in rental space. We wouldn't expand the Court of Appeals right now because I don't need that space today, as I said. I said if you're going to do a redesign. So that is what we would do. We would add criminal courtrooms, some civil, certainly a family courtroom modification. We'd take care of jury assembly, that jury assembly training area. We would do the holding cells, the high security courtroom, and that type of thing.
So, Mr. Chairman, in your opinion, it would be a very high-efficiency run building.
It would be certainly as efficient as could be as it could be, yes. I mean, our intention, first of all, is to make it efficient, make the clerk's office as efficient as it can be in the counter space for the public. And that is our whole intent in this whole process, to make everything flow. If you look at the plans as a whole, everything does flow. I mean, you have your security corridor for the jurors and those folks. You have the prisoner security, and then you have the public spaces. It flows. It is a building, as I said, that was built so it could be expanded over the next 20 or 30 years to provide for that space. What I'm hearing is we can't look that far ahead. We don't know what the things are going to look like then. What do you need now, and what will last you, say, for the next 10 years? We could do that in those narrow conscripts of just that court space and the public safety space and do it for the next 10 years.
Mr. Chairman, I guess what I envision out there is we've got all this, we've got the land, and it's, you know, there's like a hole in the ground, and we've done the seismic studies, and here we sit. And if it could be done where instead of having five stories, it would be three stories or something of this nature, that it would be scaled down and still be able to provide the kind of services that are needed in a central area.
Senator Bailey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me just, if I could go over these calculations again. You say the total then after your February 1988 revision of Dr. Wong's study is that you would need, when you eliminate the executive branch agencies, you would need 370,000 square feet approximately, correct?
Yes, that is.
Okay, now if you took, you estimate that administration is going to need 40,000 square feet, 39,575.
Yes, that's for all the services provided under the administration.
If we assume the administration, which I know a portion of it is in the building across the street right now, if we assume that administration would be in leased space, say in that tower across L Street, we could deduct the 40,000 square feet necessary for admin from the 370,000.
No, sir.
No.
Okay. Could you explain why state court administration could not be in a separate building?
I'm not suggesting that. What I'm suggesting, you couldn't deduct all the square footage. You could deduct part of it. Other parts, I think, could not be out in rental space, and they aren't now. For example, the mail room and all the mail supplies for the court system.
Mm-hmm.
The print shop and the printing of all opinions and other court materials. The supply shop that provides supplies throughout the court system. I think they'd have to stay in the building.
Okay, why would, Mr. Chairman, I know that the legislature doesn't have a print shop, for instance, in its own building. It's in an adjacent building. Administration is in a building down the street. It's a little bit of an inconvenience, no doubt, but we see it still seem to get by fairly handily, print a tremendous amount of documents out of this facility during session. Why couldn't the print shop be in an adjacent building?
Well, I think there's a number of problems. The great tremendous number is a piece of paper, but also it's very private pieces of paper. Until those opinions come out, we don't want the mountain rental space without proper security and things along those lines where somebody could break in and get copies of that type of thing. It's something you want to provide high security for because we're talking about Superior Court, Appellate Court, Supreme Court opinions in the main and those types of things. The mail, because they're walking around all the offices picking up mail and delivering like that. But I think my office staff and those people, if that was the decision, could stay out. I'm just saying not all the space could be out, but certainly I agree with you that some of it could be if that was the determination.
The print shop, even, I'm sure that you could get lease space and secure it so that people wouldn't break in and steal opinions in the middle of the night. I'm sure that you could put some kind of security system on there.
Well,
the mail room, I know we have our mail room is in the adjacent building. The old Community and Regional Affairs building over there. A little more inconvenient, but it still works.
Mr. Chairman, we'll try to do what you want. That's going to add to the operating budget, of course. We're not leasing space for that function right now. We would have to go out and lease space, it's not coming out of this budget. It's coming out of the operating budget. And those are additional costs, plus the inconveniences. If you're asking us to be efficient, and then we're trying to be efficient. But then you suggest that we don't have to be that efficient.
Well, I'm suggesting that there's a price for efficiency, and this price may be far too high for us to pay for you to be a little bit more efficient.
Well, print shops and mail shops are not upstairs in offices, Mr. Chairman. They're down in basement spaces and that type of space. I don't think it, personal opinion, that that would cost you that much more to have in the building, and I honestly do think it makes it more efficient.
Mr. Chairman, maybe I could continue. Let's assume, just for the minute, although it may be a little more inefficient, let's assume that you could find some lease space that would meet your needs of security and be in a basement and adjacent and still work out. And you took that 40,000 square feet of administration offices, put them in an adjacent building. That would leave your needs then at 330,000 square feet. That would mean that the Boney building is 150,000 square feet right now. That would mean you would need an addition of 180,000 square feet to take care of your needs minus the administrative functions.
Today.
No, by the year 2005, by your estimates.
Yes.
Okay.
If we made all those assumptions.
And included in there, in this new addition, would be 51,000 square feet of building amenities. So if you had 180,000 square feet and you assumed, which I think is a little bit high, that there were 50,000 square feet of building amenities within that new addition, I would think that you could trim that back somewhat, the building amenities. That you really wouldn't need 50,000 square feet of building amenities in 180,000 square foot addition. Don't you think?
I would assume it would be fair to say that it would go down proportionately.
Right. Okay, and isn't the existing building that you have designed, the existing addition, about 140,000 square feet to the Boney building?
I think it's 135, but let me double check.
Well, let's say 135. So it's really conceivable if you did move administration into lease space across the street, and you were able to cut down substantially on your building amenities in that size of an addition, you could more than likely utilize the existing plans for the 135,000 square foot addition to the Boney building and accommodate your needs through the year 2005.
No, it isn't.
Okay.
Because the way it's designed in the West Wing would not accommodate the critical things that we'd have to have.
But would the structure of the West Wing change at all? The engineering and design of the structure, certainly the walls may change, and you might want to put an office in one location or a courtroom in another location as opposed to what they are existing or what you're going to spend the another $100 or $1.50 on finalizing the design for. But I would think that many of your plans would already be in place for the actual structure and footprint of that 135,000 square foot addition.
Mr. Chairman, I don't feel that it's a reasonable thing to try to answer that question without having talked to the architect. I don't know.
Further questions? Could we go to the revenue and law? Let them respond to some questions and they don't have to spend their whole afternoon here and done you.
So
Do we have you both take this? And I apologize for the time you've had to spend. I'm sure you could have been counting money or writing opinions.
Is that what you do over there, Bill?
Well,
counting money all day?
Writing money and counting opinions. Mr. Baldwin, could you start off with regard to the written opinion, which appears to be inconsistent with our prior information?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. In this job, I've learned to eat crow and appear to enjoy it. Upon reflection, I feel the opinion I gave you yesterday was not well considered, perhaps given too hastily. And upon further review and looking at the history notes of the statutes, it appears to me that the prudent course to take would be to enact a specific authorization for ASBA to proceed with this project. The reason I have come to that opinion is that the ASBA's enabling statute was amended after the authorization was given to the court system in 1984. So I feel that bond counsel, who are fairly conservative in the way they proceed concerning the underlying authority of an agency to act, to issue bonds, would at the very least require that there be some form of authorization specific to ASBA enacted. And if that weren't done, they would require certain assurances from us, that being the state. And if that weren't done, and they proceeded anyway, it would probably and could possibly cost us more in the long run as far as the financing goes to assure investors or to lure investors to purchase the bonds that are issued. So prudently, I think it would be best if the legislature were to enact a specific authorization for ASBA. I regret the inconvenience and misleading you the other day, but I think this is the best course, and I think this is the best advice for you to follow.
Could you look at that opinion? We could even be more prudent and pass Senegal 328?
328.
And
341. Yeah. Oh, you get two out of this deal. Senator Duncan.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. And then as I understand it, Mr. Baldwin, the one-page opinion has been superseded by your two-page opinion that you wrote today. I mean, you wrote a one-page opinion that I thought said we could, and the two-page says we can't. So the letter of intent that we were talking about isn't sufficient. We need statute.
I believe that in order for the financing to proceed smoothly without getting bogged down with the authority question, you would be well advised to pass the enabling
resolution. And those bills, by the way, are still in State Affairs Committee, have been referred to a subcommittee for further study, which doesn't seem to make any sense to me that we're talking about building this building and the enabling legislation is being referred for future study somewhere. But let me ask you another question. The municipality, however, and I ask you this privately, I just wanted to be sure I understood it, the same opinion does not apply to the municipality of Anchorage issuing the revenue bonds, right? They don't need any specific authorization to do that. That can be done. We don't have to specifically authorize the municipality of Anchorage to issue the bonds as we have to specifically authorize the building authority to do that. Is that correct?
Yes, Senator, that's correct. And as I advised you earlier, and I have one additional ground for that authority other than we discussed. The Alaska Constitution in Article 10, Section 13 authorizes municipalities and state agencies to act together for the joint exercise of functions. And that provision in the Constitution has been further implemented by the Procurement Code, which authorizes intergovernmental agreements. And I feel that there is sufficient authority for a municipality to go forward with a financing.
But there is not sufficient authority for a public entity of the state, which I guess ASBA is, right? I mean, we created that monster, but that doesn't give them the same type of relationship. Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying is that ASBA is a creature of statute, and currently there's a statute in its enabling act which requires legislative review and approval of these types of projects. For ASBA to proceed, it would have to follow its statutes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, one further question. assuming, and let's just make the assumption, I don't know what's going to happen on those two bills, but they're way back in the first committee referral, and they have two more committee referrals. But I'm assuming those don't pass. I asked the other day the question about who owns the land, and my understanding that part of the land's owned by Aspen, part of it's owned by the state. What problem does that cause with the municipality of Anchorage building, issuing the revenue bonds to build the building on land that's owned by ASBA and the state, and present statute does not allow ASBA to transfer the land to state for less than fair market value, is that correct? So is that a complication that we need to be concerned with?
It would not be a complication if ASBA were to proceed with the project.
Yes, but assuming that those bills don't pass and ASBA doesn't proceed with the project, is it a complication?
Yes, it appears to be, since ASBA has taken the position that it cannot transfer the property for less than fair market value, we presume its position is that it would be required to exact fair market value for the property. I don't know what it's appraised at, but I assume it's substantial since it's downtown real estate, and somehow ASBA would have to be paid for that property.
Would that cause, since there is no authorization for that transfer at less than fair market value, and since that would require that type of transaction, would that cause any problems with the bonding in those who would look at the revenue bonds and the security that they might have behind it, the sites in two different hands, the lands in two different hands? There's no clear indication of how that's going to be resolved and put into one ownership. Would that cause some problems on the part of the people who would be looking at the bonds?
Well, I think there have been some discussions. I've not been a party to the discussions. Maybe Milt's been closer to that than I have, but I believe that from what I know about it, it is a detail that must be worked out as a part of the finance.
Mr. Nope. Chairman, I might say it would mean one of two things. Well, I guess possibly two things. One is the financing would have to be greater in all likelihood if that's to be the source of funds to compensate ASBA for the fair market value. If there were I think it could be done without transferring ownership and compensating ASBA, but that would make it a rather complicated set of documents for the financing and would cost you some additional amount just for the lawyers, I think, to spend more time on it. I don't think it would be a fatal complication, but we really haven't looked at it closely enough, nor have the lawyers, the bond counsel, to say whether or not it might be a fatal complication. The approach has been that we have recommended statutory changes that would obviate the problem.
Well, I guess okay, I understand. I was wondering, is Barbara Morse Quinn on the line? Is she going
Yes, she is.
Is she going to be able to testify or respond?
Thank you. That was Senator Duncan. If you can give us any background on where ASBA would be on a transfer of the property, or just general background on ASBA's position on this, we'd appreciate it.
Right. It's my understanding from having the counsel for the State Bond Committee and Karen Evans, who I believe is representing in some relationship with the city, and public stance on the Department of Revenue, that the transfer issue is a major concern to my council with regard to feasibility and financing of investments in the municipality. We do own the land, and it's a portion of it. We do own the building that is just on the leased land also, and it cannot transfer by statute, as you know, to less than fair market value. That does present a problem on the municipal side. In addition, our board has directed us to only proceed with full legislative approval for any bond financing that we would undertake. In the past, we have proceeded without legislative approval, and I'm not a lawyer, so I cannot debate the merits of the legal arguments, but politically, we have found ourselves on the focus for cost overrun in the late 70s when cost overruns were achieved, and we have had a very effective memorandum of understanding. We feel we're very comfortable with that, but our board has directed that we do not pursue any financing of Rice has full legislative approval, and that is envisioned as a legislation in the state of Maryland community.
Barbara, has the board discussed this project in any detail other than just on that level, that the only way they would proceed is with the legislative approval? Have they looked at the project, discussed it all, or not?
So we have not discussed it in any way shape or form because it was our understanding that the preference was to seek municipal approval. However, we have always remained poised and ready to step in if we were called to do so. So we have not really discussed this specific project.
Why, in your... to your understanding, why was the preference to go to municipal financing, do you know?
I believe it just was, and I would ask Mr. Stone to speak to this, that it was probably seemed to be easier and quicker, perhaps. I really don't know all the reasons why they would
Well, we can ask Mr. Stone that. I've asked him that a couple times, but could you tell me why it would be easier and quicker to go through the municipality and through ASPA? What type of hoops, other than just formal legislative approval, I guess, we found out from Mr. Baldwin they would need. What else, why would it be easier and quicker to go through the municipality of Anchorage, for example, to get financing instead of going through ASPA?
The reasoning was the legislative approval that was needed, and perhaps that was the reasoning. Other than that, I do not know anything, and I don't think there's a good one.
Okay, well, I guess I understand. What is you do think, and just let me ask you again so I understand it, you do believe that the problem with the ownership of the land and also the building, I guess, that's on that land already is a major obstacle that could cause problems with the financing for the municipality. Is that correct?
You believe that, Senator.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Senator.
Yeah, Senator Ewing, what about in the case of ASPA going forth and being able to finance it, with the ownership of the land that's underneath the present buildings, is that going to provide a problem for you and ASPA, even if you do have the authorization for finance through statute?
You need the clause, and I don't have the legislation in front of me because I wasn't really prepared for the committee meeting. From Section 3, I believe, 328, that allows us to transfer less than fair market value. You need that clause in there, as well as the legislative approval.
So, Mr. Chairman, you would need a clause that would be in the legislation that would allow you to transfer it less than fair market value?
Right.
We do have Mr. Baldwin here, too, so he might be able to enlighten us on that.
Senator Duncan.
Thank you. This is Jim Duncan again, Barbara. Did you testify on the legislation before State Affairs yesterday? And did you explain to the State Affairs Committee the necessity to have that legislation moved and the language you're talking about taken care of in order to ensure that there was no problem with the financing of the Anchorage Court building?
I did not take a position on the process of passing the legislation. I did explain that it was necessary if they chose to pass the legislation, so those particular
You didn't explain, you did not explain to the committee as I'm understanding you explained to us today, that if that does not happen, that financing for the Anchorage Court building through the municipality of Anchorage is highly questionable.
I did not ask that question.
I understand if you weren't asked, you didn't answer, but I just think that's a real important consideration. I guess I still don't understand, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Snowden, or somebody, whoever can ask, why we're working on one piece of legislation and spending all this effort and time when there's two other things that need to be done to even make this project feasible, and they're not getting any action on them. I don't understand for sure what's going on here.
Chairman.
Senator Hanson.
Mr. Chairman, I was in the Senate State Affairs Committee yesterday when we considered those two pieces of legislation, and frankly, I was surprised that, you know, in all of our discussions up here concerning the court facility, you know, I wasn't aware that we were faced with having to pass other pieces of legislation. In fact, the chairman of the committee is holding the legislation because he was unaware of the relationship between that piece of legislation and the issue we're discussing in the committee today.
Mr. Chairman?
Well, until we got the opinion from Mr. Baldwin, of course, he had an informal opinion that was in the opposite persuasion. So we're now faced with another major change in direction. Well, Senator Ulick.
Well, Mr. Chairman, in response to Senator Hensley, he made a good point there. Mr. Snowden, we were all under the assumption, I think, at the table that we were going to go ahead and be able to do it and have the $1.5 million appropriation, and that there wasn't any need for authorization through the municipality or through ASVA. And then I think as the testimony continued, we did determine that there was a necessity for authorization with ASVA. Then the Attorney General came back and said, no, you don't need that. It's presently in statute. Now today we're back at the point where we do need authorization. So I wanted to give Senator Hensley a historical account of what's going on, because I know he hasn't had the time to sit here and listen to all the testimony as I have.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I thought maybe it was just another option. I thought it was another option. You know, if the municipality somehow failed to proceed with their approach through the municipality of Anchorage, I thought maybe they were going another track just in case.
You asking me a question.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Anchorage.
Yes, this is Barbara again. If I might, I'd just like to give a little bit of a start back. The Building Authority fought for the last 4 years in a row with language that allows them to transfer any property that we have unless it's our market value. An example of which there is a problem in this was when we were seeking to sell the green use to Building Juno, we were at one point in negotiations with the City of Juno and would have liked to have succeeded with an avenue where we had discussions with the city as to whether or not they wanted to take over that building because of the statutory prohibition. We were unable to continue those discussions and didn't end up successfully selling it to a private sector buyer, but it was like a statutory provision that we have sought independently of any discussions related to bond financing or any other transactions. This is just something that we feel we need to do it with our public housing.
Further questions?
Chairman, I think after we've gone through this process for quite some time, it's apparent to me that from Mr. Baldwin's opinion that to get the proper financing on the building and to do it all in sync, that number one, we would need to have authorization for the building through ASVA, and that we would need that in a separate piece of legislation. It should, in my opinion, it should be done as a companion bill to the courthouse itself, the authorization, the appropriation bill. So we have an authorization bill and an appropriation bill that would essentially go together. I think also that there is some concern about the size of the building and the square footage, as Senator Binkley has indicated, and I would suggest that we have a letter of intent that would authorize the Finance Committee to have a building that would be no larger than 200 square feet. $200 square feet. 200 square feet might be the size of a doghouse. We've got enough dog
hair. Finance committee, 200 square feet is plenty.
We'd like to have more space up here, too.
You do?
Thank you.
Senator Duncan?
Chairman, well, of course, I don't know where we're at here yet, but I just wanted to follow up on Senator Ewing's comments. There, of course, there's another way of doing this also. And that would be, if you're going to do a separate enabling piece of legislation, that we put right in that, that the Alaska State Building Authority may provide financing for, et cetera, not to exceed a certain level of funding, just as we did for the Fairbanks Courthouse. And that ties it down pretty tight. We could say not to exceed $40 million or not to exceed $45 million. That's not uncommon. We did that for the Fairbanks Court Facility, and if we're going to do enabling legislation authorizing the Building Authority to go ahead with the courthouse project, seems to me it would be logical and legitimate for us to specify the total amount of financing that they can issue for that project.
Well, my only thinking was that if we tie it down too tightly, particularly if we put a 200 square foot constraint on it, that it might be a little bit better and work a little bit better that way. But I'm open for comments. Maybe Mr. Snowden wants to speak.
Okay, the discussion is whether it would be a constraint in square footage or a constraint in dollars.
Yeah.
Senator Fisher, do you have a comment?
No, I guess, Mr. Chairman, my question was probably for an attorney to answer. If we do go with the intent